I remember some of my favorite times in ministry was when I helped with children and youth ministry, specifically when I was a counselor at church camp. Has anyone ever been to church camp or counseled at church camp? Some of you? Well, I had been to church camp as a kid, and I realized that there was a whole lot of time for rest built in. We called it FOB time, or flat on bunk, where you had to, you know, you had to literally be flat on your bunk. That was the counselor's only rule. You could be asleep, you could be reading, whatever. You just had to lay there. And then we had bedtime, right? There was lights out at a specific point of the day, and you were not allowed to talk. And at that point, if we had cell phones, we weren't even allowed to bring them to camp. So it's not like we could be up on those. But when I became a counselor, I recognized that they didn't make you do FOB time, and lights out was not really even a suggestion. And so I remember my first year at church camp, all of us counselors, I had made, you know, my new best friends, and we decided to gather in the counselor's lounge of sorts, and we stayed up until 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, if you know anything about church camp, there's wake-up time also, right? And if the kids are awake, you have to be awake. And so I started to feel tired and run down. And this was a week-long camp. You know, we arrived on Sunday night. The kids came on Monday afternoon, and they didn't leave until Saturday. So it was one full week of just plain tired. And I remember getting home and, you know, my mom asking me how things were, and I don't think I could even get a word out because I was so tired, and I'm pretty sure I slept for 2 days straight. How many of you have ever been tired before? Every single person in this room, I am sure. And I've recognized that with each passing decade, the more sleep I need, right? And I'm sure that will only become more true the older I get. How many of you have ever been hungry before? Some of us. Many of us. Now, I don't want to be insensitive. I recognize that there are many people in our communities and in our world who are genuinely hungry and have food crises where they don't have enough to eat. And for the most part, I think many of us in this room are not in that position. But there are moments in our lives where we get hungry because we get busy. Yesterday, Aaron and I sat down. It was about 8 o'clock, and we looked at each other, and we're like, have we eaten today? Other than a few grapes at the celebration of life? I don't think so. And at that point, it felt like our blood sugar had dropped, we were getting a little fuzzy, we were tired, we needed sustenance. Our bodies crave and need certain things. They need rest. They need food. They need fuel to continue to get us on through the day. And if there's one thing I've learned about people, it's we don't often give our bodies the things they need. We run on empty more times than we should. I don't know how many times my grandmother has told me, Cassie, you cannot let your car get below a quarter of a tank of gas. It's hard on your engine and the other parts of the car. I don't know anything about cars. But don't let your car get that low. And I don't know how many times I've counted down that little mileage thing on my car that's like, you have 3 miles left until empty. Pull into a gas station. Don't judge me. Yes, I've done it. I know it's hard on my car. But if I do it to my car, I also do it to myself. I'm constantly, well, sometimes, running on empty. And I know many of you all are too. As the text we come in to today, the disciples are running on empty. They are tired. We're picking up the text right where we left off last week. If you remember, I talked about how the text last week was what Mark calls an intercalation, meaning a story within a story. And so the first story Jesus tells is about the sending of the 12, that they have been out on a mission trip. If you've ever been on a mission trip, you're tired there too, right? I know by the end of our last mission trip, I was exhausted for a few days. And then he weaves in this story about the beheading of John the Baptist, and then he comes back to where we're picking up today. So let's read. We're going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 30 through 34, and then we're going to skip over a couple really familiar stories and pick back up at verse 53. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Mark chapter 6, and it is in our tradition that we stand for the Gospel reading, so please stand in body or spirit. Hear now these words. The apostles gathered around Jesus, and they told him all that they, and he told them all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." We're going to skip over to verse 50. "For they saw him, and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart.'" Am I at the right place? 53, I'm sorry, 53, I lied. "When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Genesee and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into villages or cities or farms, they laid sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed." This is the word of God for the people of God. If you caught that line in verse 31, it said, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." In my mind, this is a perfectly accurate description of our lives today. So many of us are too busy to even pause for a real lunch. If you work in a corporate office, you might go to a vending machine just to get a sandwich. For some of us, I know our pantry is stocked with grab-and-go sorts of items, packs of muffins, travel crackers, Lunchables, or anything else you maybe could eat in the car. We spend way too much time sitting in drive-through lines just because we need something to eat. We are busy with all of our activities and responsibilities. It is almost impossible to sit down and have a family meal together. Anyone else feel like this is true? You're just passing one person on the way out the door, and you grab something. I don't know how many times I'm like, "Well, I'll have dinner ready at 4:30 because I know people need to eat from 4:30 to 8 o'clock at night, and everything in between. So it just sits on the stove. I find it difficult to believe that this is how God envisioned life for us. I know that for us, it's simply our realities. But if we do that with our food, if we do that with our family time together, I think it begs the question, what are we doing with our spiritual lives? Are we actually making time to be fed by God? Or are we putting it on the back burner and maybe grabbing a devotional on the way out the door, or listening to Christian radio on our 20-minute drive from point A to point B, but not actually taking time that's intentional to spend with God? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to myself right now, because I do this too. It's second thought. I fit God into my schedule versus creating my schedule to fit around where God is calling me to be. And I think that is especially hard with people in the life of the church, because we think all of that busy work that we're doing for the church is time with God. Whether it be planning for a sermon, or prepping for a meal, or cleaning up after an event. Yes, this is all God's good and holy work. But is it really being fed by God? If we come back to the text, we hear that the disciples have just been on a sort of a mission, right? They've been sent out, and they've been doing all sorts of great things. It says they've been casting out demons, they've been anointing the sick with oil, and they've been curing them. This is all good and holy work, right? These are all things that we are called to do, to go out, to share the gospel, to reject evil and injustice in the world, to surround those who are sick and hurting and try to heal and comfort them. But it says they were tired. When we come back after that story about the beheading of John the Baptist, it says the apostles gathered around Jesus and they told him all the things that they'd done. They were excited, right? They wanted to share with Jesus. And he said, "Come, get away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest." We are really bad at this part of the gospel. We go and we do over and over and over again, and we don't find space for rest. Particularly after a hard and difficult season. If you remember right before this, we read this story, this long story last week, right, about the beheading of John the Baptist. And at the very end of that story, it says when the disciples heard about it, they came and they took his body and they laid it in a tomb. Now, this didn't happen time-wise directly before, but it does happen directly before in Mark's gospel. You know, it's kind of a flashback scene. But this is something that's been heavy on their hearts for a while. And they've been busy and running around. And Jesus offers them a place of rest. We've dealt with a tragedy, multiple tragedies in the life of this church, right? Over the course of the past year. From loss of loved ones to friends to the challenges of COVID to not being able to gather together. And then throwing in all of the busy things that God is calling us to do. And at the very end, Jesus says, "Come away, get away by yourself with just us, and rest." This is a hard practice for us as Christians. Sabbath is one of those commandments, right, in the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And Sabbath is a practice that Jesus breaks frequently too, right? We're constantly here about Jesus getting yelled at by those in positions of power because he's decided to heal someone or talk to someone or do something that he's not supposed to do. So we get kind of these mixed messages, right? Like, well, what do you really want us to do? And I think Jesus' message to us is it's not about just following a rule or a law. Sometimes we have to bend and break the rules when others cross our path. We have to be ready for God to speak to us and to call us into a new place. But the point of Sabbath is to protect you, to keep you healthy and well, to make you better, to bring you closer to one another and to God. Several years ago, right after Aaron and I got married, I took our honeymoon by myself to Israel. He did not go with me. This is why my last name's still O'Brien, actually, because I never changed my passport because there was not enough lead time. But I took a trip to the Holy Land, and on Friday night of that trip, if you know anything about Jewish Sabbath, it runs from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. For us in the Christian tradition, a lot of us consider Sunday our Sabbath. I don't know how that's possible for pastors to consider Sunday or Sabbath, so we just have to pick another random day of the week. But in the Jewish community, it's Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. And at that point in our trip, we were in Jerusalem, kind of in the city center at this hotel. And I remember going to get on the elevator and pushing the button and nothing happening. You know, usually when you push a button on an elevator, the light comes up and then you watch the things. And slowly I noticed the doors just kind of kept opening and closing in the same succinct pattern. Because in Jewish tradition, it is considered work to even push the button on an elevator. They're not allowed to do that. So they have it set to where the elevators will automatically open and close so you don't have to do any work, even to get on an elevator. Now, can you imagine that being our culture? Like, literally taking a full 24-hour period every day of the week to not do any work. To have life just set up so you can rest. And I was like, whoa, this is way different than anything I'm used to. But it made me realize that culturally they have this pattern and it forces them into a place of rest. At least into a place of recognition that they need to rest, right? At least they're reminded, hey, this is probably something I should be doing. We are blessed in so many ways where we live and where we are. That is one way we are not blessed. Because our culture, our society, pushes us to be busy and to work 24/7. From the phones in our hands that can receive emails at 2 a.m., to convenience stores that are open 24/7, to online shopping that I can do from the comfort of my couch at 3 in the morning when I should be sleeping, to everything in between. We are constantly working. We are constantly on. And Jesus pushes us into a different narrative, into a different culture that calls us to rest. And I think so many of us, our spiritual lives are running on empty. Because we're not spending time in God's word. We come to church maybe once a week, or once a month, or twice a year. We listen to a devotional maybe sometimes, or turn on Christian radio when it's convenient. But we have to take pattern and practice and build it into our lives. So that is my challenge for you. And to myself, because I'm also really bad at this. To take time to rest in God. Right after this story that we hear, a crowd comes up to Jesus. And they are hungry. And that's when we come to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? We talked about that a little bit last week. But Jesus says before he feeds them food, before he gives their bodies the things that they need, it says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They needed leadership. And he began to teach them many things. Our bodies don't work if our souls aren't filled. The first thing Jesus does before he offers them that bread and that fish is he offers them holy word. Your bodies cannot survive if your soul is not okay. Take care of your soul. Rest in Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for your word. And for the reminder in your word that you care so much about us, that you want us to care for ourselves. God, let us find ways to feed our souls. Let us find ways to rest more fully in you. And in the midst of the busy and the craziness of life, help us to discern and to rework our patterns so that we would be focused on you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.